There will be more to say about what Phil has told you now. He did mention that there's going to be, what he's really saying was that there's going to be a new school here, completely devoted to adult education, that's going to be called the Avram Silver Jerusalem College for Adults. Avram Silver, Olivar Shalom, was a young man who was a close friend of mine from Toronto, who passed away years ago. And his almana, the family, is endowing the establishment of a new school, and it will incorporate the classes of the Jerusalem College for Adults, the classes here at the Israel Center, and between the two of them, we may very well soon become one of the largest and certainly most prestigious schools for adult education in the Jewish world, right here in Yerushalayim. And I certainly look forward with great anticipation to work together with the staff here, with Phil Chernovsky and with Menachem Persov and Rabbi David Cohen. And I'm sure that this is going to be a zivug, a shidduch, well, call it a shidduch made in heaven. It means that this building will really house within itself a tremendous amount of Torah study, and we hope that we will be able to bring this to not only larger Yerushalayim, but also to all of Eretz Yisrael. Every time you go someplace these days, you have to be ready to change your mood. Went to Hakel on Thursday after the terrorist attack in Afula. You know, you have to be able to turn it on and turn it off. In other words, the tsar, the pain, they turn on for us. Again, you can't remain in constant pain. So therefore, what's necessary is you have to put yourself together. There is a time for Afula, and there's a time for Hakel. And there's a time for, unfortunately, a time for Levayas, and a time for Shiurim. But it's not easy to bridge from one to the next, from one emotion to the next, is extremely difficult. I say this not only because this is the situation, but as I stand here today, I am transported back precisely a year ago, last Hoshana Rabbah at night. I remember saying during the course of my remarks last year, I remember describing what was happening precisely at the time. That there were a group of hikers on Har Eval that were pinned down by Palestinian fire, and Israeli helicopters were flying overhead. And I wondered, were they flying overhead? Do something! I came home and I heard the 11 o'clock news. The 11 o'clock news last Hoshana Rabbah night. My wife heard a sound of such pain, because they announced on the 11 o'clock news that on the slopes of Har Eval, a Jew by the name of Reb Binyamin Herling was killed. Ish Kedumin. I want to tell you, last Chol Hamoed, the first day of Chol Hamoed Sukkos, I was at a meeting in the home of Rav Avraham Shapiro Shlita. And you know, we've had meetings now over the last eight years. We've had meetings discussing the situation, what it is, what can we do. We didn't know then that we're going to be in for a year of intensifying war. And we were talking, and there was one person in the circle whom I had never seen. I'd been at every meeting by Robert Long. Dozens, scores. I've been there very often. And here's this one Jew I never met before. And I listened to him speak a number of times. He made an extremely deep and profound impression on me. After the meeting, I walked over to him and I asked him, Who are you? Like, I never met you. I want to know who you are. The man spoke with such, not brilliance, it was brilliant, no, heart. And I saw on his face real sickness. Man looked, spoke, and acted like a tzaddik. You don't meet many people like that. And he tells me, his name is Binyamin Herling, and he comes from Kidumim. 5 days later, we stood there 15, 20 minutes and talked. It was an experience to talk with this man. And then I come home from the Israel Center, and I hear the 11 o'clock news that Binyamin Herling was killed on the slopes of Haifa. One story, one of hundreds that took place during the course of the year. Can we forget Hillel Lieberman, Hashem Yinkom Damam of Elon Moré? It's been an extremely difficult year. So what occurred to me, and some of the remarks that I'm going to make this evening, I said in shul Friday night, I revisited what we really did last year. You may very well recall that what I said last year is that every night of Sukkot, we have guests that come in for Sukkot. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David. And each one of them has a message. And I was telling you what I thought would be the advice that Avraham, Yitzchak, and all of the rest of them would give to Klal Yisrael a year ago, when all of this began. So I wondered to myself, what would they say this time around? What would they say? Well, one thing is certain. Avraham Avinu would have come into the Sukkah. He came into the Sukkah this year. And by the way, all of them. They came in frustrated. They came in angry. They came into our Sukkahs with pain. Avraham must have, I mean, I could hear him say it. I could hear him say it. A member of your family is taken hostage. You don't give anybody 48 hours. You don't go looking for a coalition throughout the world. I find out that Lot is taken. I didn't ask advice of Oner Eshkol Mamre. I didn't ask them to join me. I didn't fly around the world trying to find people who are going to support me in my effort. Lot has been taken. He's Mishpacha. It's my responsibility, and I went out and I did it. You think I wasn't concerned that I might be condemned by the world? Of course I was concerned. But there's nothing that the world likes as much as success. And when I succeeded, Melchizedek, Melech Shalem, came out toward me and he said, Baruch Avraham Lekel Elyon, blessed is Avraham. to the Almighty God, Hashem, Migem Tzorecho Biyadecho, who has given your enemies in your hand. If we're going to worry about what the world says, and our film is very upset about this, you'll never do anything. You'll never do anything. You have to go out there, you have to do the job, and begrudgingly, they will say, kol hakavod. I didn't go look for anybody. I didn't ask anybody's advice. I wasn't interested. I knew what I had to do. What I had to do, I had to do, and I did it. And I succeeded. Something else. There's something else that Avram learns that he's really going to pass on to Yitzhak, and it's going to become even most intense when it comes to Yaakov Avinu. Avram is the one to whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu says at the Briz Bein HaPsachim, at the covenant between the pieces, God tells Avram Avinu, I have bad news and I have good news. Your children are going to be strangers in a land that's not theirs. They're going to be enslaved. They're going to suffer. They're going to be in pain. And also that nation whom they will be enslaved to. I'm going to judge that nation. The good news is, I'm going to judge them, and afterwards I'm going to go out with great wealth. I want to tell you what I think Avraham Avinu learns here, in addition to the fact that he's being told what's going to happen with his children. But very softly, but to Avraham it's very clear. He gets the message very well. It doesn't even seem at first glance to be what the Rebbeinu was telling. The Rebbeinu was telling them, your children are going to be enslaved, and that they're going to suffer for 400 years, and that afterwards they're going to go out to freedom. I know that it's Hoshana Rabba night, and I'm going to take you for a few minutes to the Haggadah Shel Pesach. The Haggadah quotes this pasuk. In the Haggadah it says, Baruch HaMakom, the Rebbein Shalom, he kept the promise that he made to Avram, V'achrichin Yetzu V'ruchush Gadol, they'll be enslaved and then they're going to bow to freedom. What does it say immediately afterwards in the Haggadah? I'll remind you, V'hi sha'amda l'Hoseinu v'lanu, sh'lo achad b'lvad, Amad Oleinu Lechalol Zeinu, Elo Shebechol Dor Vador, Omdim Oleinu Lechalol Zeinu, V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu Miyadam. We all know, right? We sing it? Sing it? V'Hisha Onda. This is what has stood us in good stead, that in every generation there are those who rise up against us to destroy us. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu Miyadam saves us from their hands. The next paragraph in the Haggadah is, Arami Obeid Avi Vayeded Mitzrayim, Olavan wanted to destroy my father, Vayeded Mitzrayim, and he went down to Egypt. The Netziv asks, what's the relationship between the two parts of that pasuk? Arami Obeid Avi, Olavan wanted to destroy my father, Vayeda and Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim. The two events were separated by 22 years. What does one have to do with the other? It seems as though our beloved wanted to destroy my father, and he went down to Mitzrayim. What are these two? How do we even say it in one passage? We say it every year. What do we say? So the Tzitz says that we usually explain V'hi Sha'anda What is it that stood us in good stead? How do we understand it? What is it that stood us in good stead? And it says, we usually understand it because it follows immediately after God's guarantee to Avraham that his children are going to march out to freedom. So we understand that God's promise to redeem us is that which has stood us in good stead throughout all of history. So the Nitzit says, I don't understand, that can't really be the pshat. Because God's promise to Avraham was a one-time deal. It was a one-shot. He told him, your children are going to be enslaved in a country for 400 years and then they're going to go out to freedom. That was only Golus Mitzrayim. There is no promise over here that God is going to redeem the Jewish people from every exile. So what are we saying in the Haggadah? We say it, we sing it, we know it backwards and forwards. But he says, we don't understand what it means. What do you mean, Vihishalda? What stood us in good stead? By the way, I'm going to digress for a moment. Then I'm going to bring it back. Just stay with me. Don't go anywhere, just listen. Vihishalda has very special meaning to me. It brought back a bit of history. Do any of you here remember when the last time there was a conference held in the world, somewhere in the world, where a decision was taken to battle terrorism? Anybody remember? I can't believe it. You're the first, don't say it again, the first person of hundreds who was able to answer the question. You know what he said? I'll tell you what he said. Sharm HaShek, you forgot all about it. 1995, it was before Pesach. The leaders of 28 nations joined in Sharm HaShek and decided we're going to fight world terrorism. And there was a great photo of Shimon Peres together with 28 leaders of the world, locked arm in arm, and we're going to fight terrorism. And the decision then was made that in 2 weeks there's going to be a meeting in Washington, and within 1 month there are going to be solid decisions taken and steps in order to eradicate terrorism from the face of this world. Trust me, nobody met in Washington 2 weeks later. You can be certain there were no recommendations a month later. By the way, I only remember this not because my history is that good, it's because of the Hishanda. And you're wondering, what do I remember because of the Hishanda? So I'll tell you what it is. On his way back to the United States, Clinton came. Clinton was here. And on his way back, he spoke at a high school in Tel Aviv. I remember that only because I never had to get to a funeral in Eretz Chaim in Beit Shemesh. And right after Beit Shemesh, they had already closed the entire highway so that there should be no other vehicles on the road when Clinton uses the road to go to the airport. And I'm listening to Clinton's speech. In Tel Aviv, to a high school in Tel Aviv, and whoever it is, some woman on cutting soil is translating. And it becomes me black before the eyes. Very schwarz of the eye. He's saying, because he's saying that you Jews are soon going to sit down to the Seder, and at the Seder, you're going to say that in every generation there are those that rise up against us to destroy us, and the Lord Almighty. So this poor translator from Kol Yisrael is saying, B'chaz manim, b'cholat ha'kufa, yesh ka'ilu, shemilchamim nekdeinu. The poor, poor translator didn't have a clue of what a 5-year-old by us knows. didn't have a clue. The Ishandal I was saying of the lung. I couldn't get it out of my mind. Nearly as bad as Thursday, this past Thursday, on the 7 o'clock news, when they're telling us what's going to happen in Yerushalayim, that following such and such at 5:30 in the afternoon, there's going to be Tfilas HaKol. Tfilas HaKol. Okay? You can be born in this country, you can go to school in this country, and you don't know what a HaKel is. Now they tell me I was in shul for the 8 o'clock news, and it seems somebody corrected them and made sure that they knew to say Tfilas HaKel, Shana Nachata. Don't know the Ishanda. By the way, if you remember already, why did they call that gathering in Sharm el-Sheikh? Why did they call it? Why did they call it? Why was there? Why did 28 leaders? Huh? Because right after Pesach were going to be the elections, and Peres was losing in the polls against Netanyahu, so they came to bolster Peres. That's exactly why they came. And therefore there was never any intent on destroying terrorism. But I just digress. I couldn't help it. You know, these things happened to me. So what does the Hishamda mean, the Nitziv says? What does the Hishamda mean? If it doesn't mean that God made a promise, because he didn't make a promise at the Brit Bein HaTarim that he was going to save us in all times. So the Nitziv says the following. You know what it is that stands us in good stead at all times? If we listen very carefully to what God said to Avram. Ki ger yiyeh zaracha. You're going to be strangers. You're going to be outsiders. You're going to be alone. You're going to be different. Don't ever think that you're going to become a full-fledged member of the family of nations. Am levodot yishkon uvagoyim lo yitchashav, a people that dwells alone. And if you're going to make the mistake of thinking they're going to embrace you and they're going to love you and they're going to go out and fight for you, you're making a terrible mistake. You have to understand. The Jew stands alone, not lonely, by no stretch of the imagination. We have a Rabbeinu Shlomo with us, and that's more important than anybody else. But if you're going to make the mistake of thinking that if you make such compromises and other compromises, you're going to be loved, you're making a tragic, tragic mistake. The Rebbeinu Shlom tells Avraham Avinu, ki ger yiyeh zaracha. And then it says, v'hisha amdol, I will say, you know what stood us in good stead throughout all of history? This knowledge that we're different, that we will fiercely defend and protect our identity. We will never fall into the trap of thinking, if we just do this, they will love us. It'll never happen. V'hishon the Bible says. And then he says, now it's beautiful. Arami ovi gavi vayeret etzchaima. After the experience that Yaakov Avinu had with Lavan, you know what he learned? He learned that he's the eternal gear. He's the eternal outsider. He's the eternal stranger. What is it that he says to Esav after he makes his way back from the house of Lavan? In Lavan Garti, I was a gear by Lavan, and that magnificent Rashi, the Taryag Mitzvot Shamarti. Garti, the letters equal Taryag. I kept 613 mitzvahs in the house of Lavan because I felt myself like a ger. I was not going to make a single compromise or concession with my identity. And therefore now he says, that's what our God is telling us. Arami Yogadavi Vayedet Mitzchaimah, what's the relationship? Arami, Lavan wanted to destroy my father and he went down to Mitzchaim. Melamed, the Haggadah says, Shalom Yarad, he didn't go Lishtakeh to settle there, Elalagor, Avram Avinu came to Mitzrayim with the intent, I'm going to be different, I'm going to be a ger, I'm going to be separate, I will never ever become part and parcel of Egyptian society. And the Nitzit says that that has saved us where we knew that to be true, where we understood it, where we knew that we will make no compromise for our own safety, security, or identity because we want to find favor in somebody's eyes. That's the only thing that stands us in good stead. Then there's a brilliant word that the Nitziv says in Parashat Polok, Am Levodod Yishon, a nation that dwells along Uvagoyim Lo Yitchashov, and is not counted as part of the members of the nations of the world. So you said, Am Levodod, if you are a people who dwells alone, Yishon, then you're going to dwell, then you're going to be okay. Uvagoyim, but if you want to become part of the nations of the world, Lo Yitchashov, you're not going to count anymore. Nothing will come of you. Well, we said in Hazinu, we're going to say it in Zos, Zos HaBracha, Betach, Bodod, Ein, Yaakov, Yishkom Yisrael, Betach, Bodod, Ein, Yaakov. Klal Yisrael lives in security only when they know that they're alone. It's 4,000 years since Avraham Avinu. And you know who learned this message well? Yaakov Avinu learned it from the Zayda. He learned it from the Zayda. Any attempt at trying to appease the nations of the world and at the same time compromising our safety and security is a tragic, tragic mistake. And therefore one of the many things, there's so many things that give you pain. I'm afraid to say there was something that pained me. There were two people who made the following statement at different times. At the signing of the Jordan-Israel peace treaty, Yitzhak Rabin HaManoach said, Lo od am levodad yishkon. No longer will we be am levodad yishkon. What a tragic mistake. But Kfira, that's nearly like Lo Od Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Being crazy. Tragic mistake. And it was repeated, of course, by Peres said it in a speech once. Lo Od, no more. We're part of a coalition of nations. Take a look. Look at where we are. Terrorist nations, you understand. And even the architect of world terrorism is going to be fighting terrorism. The only ones left out in the cold. And you know what? It's very good to be out in the cold. Am levodo yishkon, uvagoyim lo yitchashov. But there's something else that I heard that I never, ever sensed in the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avraham Avinu. It just struck me as I was learning it over again recently. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Avraham Avinu? Ki ger yiyeh zaracha. What are the next two words? Be'eretz lo lahem. Do you know we were supposed to be like strangers in a land that's not ours? Oh, but in our own land? Oh, no, 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 no. You cannot and dare not act like a ger in your own land. In your own land, you're a tumshav. And that's why when he comes to buy the Ma'arat HaMachpelah, he says, ger v'toshav anochi imachem. And Rashi says, if you want to look at me like a ger, then you should know that I'm a ger who came from elsewhere. V'nit yashavti kam. I settled in here. And if you're not ready to accept that, then I'm telling you, I'm a toshav. God promised me this land. Ki ger yiyeh zaracha, ve'eretz lo lahem.
what our plan is.
He hears it very well. And he passes this on to Yitzchak. Yitzchak came into the sukkah this year. I mean, I could see that he was extremely agitated. I could see that he was very, very upset. Because what is it that that Yitzchak has to say? Don't you know that a promise of this is not a promise? Don't you know that a word isn't a word? How many times do we have to name Be'er Sheva, Be'er Sheva? I've long did it, and I had to do it again. And it was a promise between us and the Plishtim that there won't be any war. You think they kept it? You think they kept it? They broke the ceasefire time and time again. Throughout history, they broke it. Don't you know that you can't depend on a word of this? I think that we're the laughing stock of the world. Yitzchak must be saying, I can hear them laughing all over the world at you. I can hear them laughing all over the world. You didn't learn from me that you can't trust them? You can't trust them? You know what you should have done? What did the Benjamin tell me? The Benjamin told Yitzchak, Shchon v'aretz hazos, dwell in this land, ve'ayim chon, I will be with you. And I will bless you. Because to you and your children I will give this land. Oh, would we have built a new yeshuv after every terror attack? Or would we have sent a message to the world? Shom Baretz, the Rebbeinu Shem says to Yitzhak. And the message says, Asei bo shchuna. Make another neighborhood. Build another building. Build another yeshuv. Now, one of the problems that we have, by the way, I'm going to overburden, I'm just going to burden you slightly because of the problem that I had. It started last year, around the Hoshana Rabbatan, about 2 weeks before. I admit it, and it's one of the sins that I have committed, and I'm afraid that I wasn't able to do tshuva in Kif. I still continue to do it. I read the Haaretz every day. It started just about a year ago. It was a plot, by the way. It was a plot I found in my mailbox in Arnof. It was a 2 month free subscription, something like that. What are you talking about? OGBR, only going to buy retail. If you can get a free subscription to the Haaretz. I got a free subscription to the Haaretz, and then I was hooked already. I was hooked. I couldn't stop already. At the thought of giving it up, I was having withdrawal symptoms. So I kept getting it, and I tell you, I come to shul every morning aggravated.
But that's the way to know
you're... There's a story told. There is a story told of a Roshiva that the Talmidim had said about him, that he's so immersed in the world of Torah that he doesn't read the newspapers. God forbid a Roshiva should read the newspaper. And one day it happened. Martin Gechat. Somebody caught him. He was reading the newspaper. So the Talmidim came to the Rebbe. They were, Rebbe, you were reading the newspaper. And you know what, Rebbe? You were reading the newspaper before davening. So they, you know, they were so distraught, they had lost all faith in their Rebbe. She says, yes, I read the newspaper every day, and I read it before davening, so I should know exactly what to daven for. I tell you, when I come to shul, if the members of my shul would know that I know exactly what to daven for. So here, what are you supposed to do? Here is a simple section just a few days ago in the Haaretz, where one of their television critic, yeah. And he's very upset. The guy's frothing at the mouth. You can see the phone on the page. He's perfectly frothing at the mouth. He says, TV and radio they become right. Oh, they're all right. There's no objectivity anymore. It was all objective until now. There's no more objectivity. It's all right. What is he so upset about? See, it says, L.A. Sinai, they refer to L.A. Sinai, where the people I took live pace last week, as a Moshav. And the people in L.A. Sinai were called Mityashvim. Don't they know that that's a Hitnachalut, and they're Mitnachalim? If you're calling Mitnachalim Mityashvim, and you hit Nachalut a Moshav, that's the end of left. It's all over. There's no longer any objectivity. And Shigun, we're talking about our own worst enemies, you understand, coming from within our own ranks. Yeah, I said, Mishul, this is the tragic mistake. The tragic mistake that's being made. They talk about Eli Sinai and Nitzadim and Gush Katif as the Etzen Begaron. The Etzen Begaron is the bone in the throat. What a tragic mistake. And what they think is that if we will remove all of the inhabitants of Gush Katif, we'll take the Etzen, we'll take the bone out of the out of the throat, everything's going to be okay. They don't understand that all of Medinas Yisrael is an Etzen Begadol. We are the bone in the throat of the world of Islam. They don't, it's not L.A. Sinai or Gush Katif, they don't want us here. Benjamin Netanyahu, in his book, A Place Amongst the Nations, I started rereading it. He's hot stuff these days, so I'm reading it. It's extremely important. By the way, that's one good book to read, A Place Among the Nations. And then there's another book to be written, you should read. I don't think it may even be out of print. I don't even think you can get it anymore. That's only the Sunday making sure you can't get it. From Time Immemorial by John Peters. Unbelievable, unbelievable. Again, if I'm going to stop talking about that, I'll never get my shit set. Two books that have to be read. So he talks about, first of all, he talks about the British. A few months after the Balfour Declaration, the British Colonial Office began a planned betrayal of the Balfour Declaration. And they took steps for 20 years. The Colonial Office were a bunch of, I'm sure he was one subject in the Colonial Office. The man's name was Colonel Richard Meinertz Hagen. It's a mouthful, Meinertz Hagen. He describes how Meinertz Hagen had a meeting with Hitler in Aschaffenburg. So when he met with Hitler, Hitler said, Heil Hitler. So he said, Heil Meinertz Hagen. Then he says, he writes that on his last day as Israel's ambassador to the United Nations, he was sitting with one of the top diplomats of the United Nations, and we had a few drinks, and he says after a few vodkas, fellow tells him, it was all a mistake. Netanyahu thought that he was talking about what then was the great issue before the United Nations. Racism is Zionism is racism. You know, so he thought that he's saying it was a mistake ever to have passed such a resolution that Zionism is racism. So through the few vodkas, he said, nah, it's not what I meant. Nah. He said, the whole damn state was a mistake. If we would have made sure that it never comes into being, we would have saved the whole world so much trouble. So anybody who thinks that Yehuda, Shomron, Azar, Yishuv HaYehudi v'Chevron, that's the Etzen v'Gagon, the bone in the throat, is making a tragic mistake. We're all one big bone. They should choke on us.
Hold that second. Don't sound good? Okay. Like it wasn't too, extreme? Okay. Yaakov came into the sukkah, and Yaakov says, first of all, I want you to understand, fellas. I want you to understand something. Make no mistake. If you think that I was upset with what Shimon and Levi did, you're making a terrible mistake. I wasn't upset with what they did. A daughter of Israel had been taken hostage. That's unconscionable. That's impossible. We're not going to permit that. Of course we were going to go in there and we were going to bite them out. You know what I was upset about? I'm the head of the family. They should have had the decency. Shimon and Levi, you should have discussed it with me. We should have planned it together. What do you mean you go off and work on your own? We're all family. We're all for one. You think I'm opposed? Because even if you wanted to be opposed, all that Shimon and Levi would have done, Shimon and Levi would have simply taken up the Rambam and shown the Rambam, where the Rambam says that the people of Shem are all kind of misses, they get the death penalty because they were all kidnappers and they were all those who aided and abetted kidnapping, which is clear misses. So listen, why you can't disagree with the Rambam? Of course Yaakov Avinu wouldn't disagree with the Rambam. All he was concerned about was, I'm still the head of the family. And as long as I'm the head of the family, you should have discussed it with me. And then, yes, he was concerned. Who knows what's going to happen? So what does the Pasuk say afterwards? The fear of God was upon all the nations of Canaan. If we compromise, if we want to be loved, you know, I think everybody wants to be loved. Sometimes I have this feeling that we Jews want to be even loved and coveted more than anybody else. And that's a tragic, tragic mistake. Yaakov says, you know what it means being alone. I learned it from Isaiah the Avram. And you know who was my best student? Just wait till Yosef comes into the sukkah. He's going to tell you what it means to be alone. What it means to fiercely defend your identity, though you're mamish alone. No family, no friends. You're imprisoned unjustly. Unjustly! A terrible crime! And he remains strong. Oh, does Yosef remain strong and proud? And you know what Yosef learns from his Seyd Avram? What was Avram called? Avram was called Avram HaIvri. Do you know when he's called Avram HaIvri? Right before he goes out to wage war against the four mighty kings in order to bring Lot back to safety. Avram HaIvri, Kol HaOlam Kulo, the whole world is on one side, on Eved Echad on one side, and he is on the other side. He knew that his position is being on the other side. He's simply not going to be part of the family of nations. By the way, here's a classic example of where you can choose your mishpucha. Why would anybody in their right minds want to choose that kind of mishpucha? I don't understand. Yosef is the Nar Ivri, the Hebrew slave boy who was there. Yosef has learned very well. The whole world is on one side, and he's going to be on the other side. That is the existential condition of the Jewish people. There's a classic, one of many a classic quote from Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He talks about Israel's foreign policy in one of his great essays. He says, oh, this is Tahut Maaseh, this is a This is a mistake. Beruach zesh shivyon in hakol ubitzavta in hakol, in this spirit of being equal to all and being buddy-buddy with everybody, the representatives of the state of Israel have very often demonstrated great naivete, tumimut yeterah. They never were able to see situations, special situations, v'lo hevinu l'nachon. They didn't properly understand kavanoteihem hamesutarot, the hidden intentions of ishim mesuyamim, of certain personalities, leaders of the world. They just didn't get it because of their desire to be one with everybody. They just didn't get it. And he says, "Mitoch tom lev yaldutei," from as a result of childish simplicity, "Nagnu imun," they placed their faith b'divrei anashim shebardu bonu acharkach. They placed their trust in the words of people who betrayed us afterwards. It was childish on our part. Hitparalum divrei chalakot usfat chanev. We were always impressed by glib words and flattery. We loved it. We ate it up. Domani, the Chav says, it seems to me, ki bekama miknim chasru l'mediniyot hachutz shel Yisrael. In many cases, the foreign policy of the state of Israel lacked degesh, the feeling of kvod atzmi, self-dignity. Ga'on l'umi, national pride, they just didn't have it. Zehirot, they weren't careful enough. V'gam ha'oz l'amod al datah, they didn't have the strength or the courage to stand for the convictions of the state of Israel. He wrote this about 40 years ago. My, would he have to write a sentence like that 40 years later? Or would he talk about those who have betrayed us and the simplicity, they're laughing at us in the world. Most probably the world doesn't even report another ceasefire. A child in Israel, somebody told me this, that the his angel told him, "Sada, Sada, yesh hafsakat esh. There's a ceasefire. So yachzik mamad eset akot. It's going to last for 10 minutes." This is a 5-6-year-old child. And now we're going to earn him over here. I'm embarrassed. Moshe, I have a feeling that this year Moshe, by the way, last year I never got to Moshe. I never got to Moshe, to Aaron. Someplace in the middle of David, I made some kind of a remark and I said, uh-oh, my time is up, so. Moshe. I think that Moshe really is not going to spend much time with us. I think that Moshe's message is really, for most of the sukkahs in the world, out in chutz la'aretz. I'll tell you what brought me to think. Girls who had come for one of the year programs, you know, a six-month program, yeah, program, shmogram, well, yeah. And I sort of questioned them very, very nicely, like, do any of them consider the possibility of eventually living here? Two of them just looked like they didn't hear what I said. Two of them like, "Live here, you crazy? You're crazy, you're right. What do I want to live here?" One of them got really violent with me at having even asked the question. It was the Shabbos of Parshat Kukah. Said, "You were shul girls? I think they may even have been done by me. I don't know." "Yeah, sure, Parshat Kukah, yeah." So I said, "Elements did. What are you talking about? In Parashat Chukah, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron are punished. And what is their punishment? That they will not go into Eretz Yisrael. Have you ever heard in your life somebody who chooses punishment? And not only chooses punishment, is so gleeful and so happy. You're crazy. I'm going to come live in Eretz Yisrael. You're out of your mind. You know what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them in the Sukkahs and Chutzlarks? What I wanted more than anything else in my whole life. I wanted to go in there and say, you can do it, and you don't do it. What are you talking about? I don't understand you. I remember they tell me that once a person from Chutzlarts was here for Yom Tov. Let's make it more topical, we'll say it's Sukkos. And he went to Rabbi Zalman and said, Sadat Abraham, and he says, I'm here for Yom Tov. And, I want to know what to do with regard to Yom Tov Sheni, because it's Dato Lakso. Halacha is a Dato Lakso. A person's intent is, his das is to go back. Then, that's an extremely significant consideration in the Halacha. So Rabbi Shlomo Zalman is purported to have said, Dato Lakso? That's not that. That's not a brain working. A Jew can say that he's here and Dr. Laza. It can't be. Just today, I pulled out a Torah article that made a great impression on me. It must have been 30 years ago, 25, 30 years ago, by Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, whose Levaya will take place tomorrow in Yerushalayim, and I believe that Rabbi Adler will be speaking at greater length about Rav Aaron. One of the end of, a great member of a great family. So he's discussing the question of why doesn't the Rambam list as a halacha, as a mitzvah, the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. There's a tremendous amount of so much literature on this question. So he says in one sentence there, and it made a very big difference to me because I took it a number of steps further. He says it may very well be that the Rambam did not write and enunciate clearly that there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael because Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be Eretz Chenda. In Tehillim it says, Mo'asu, they rejected, the Meraglim rejected Eretz Chenda, the desirable land. In benching, know that the Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Chalpa Abisenu. We thank you, God, that you gave our fathers as an inheritance and it's chenda, a desirable land. I would imagine that what he's saying is, if a Jew is supposed to understand that this is a desirable land, then no mitzvah is necessary. On the contrary, I would go one step further and say the moment that you make it a mitzvah, it's no longer my own choice anymore. It's a mitzvah, so I have to do it. But wait a minute, maybe it's not a mitzvah. Oh, that leaves me free to want to desire. That's what the relation wants. And I wanted to explain Rav Moshe's Psak Halacha, Rav Moshe Paskins, that living in Eretz Yisrael is not a mitzvah chiyuvis, it's not an obligatory mitzvah, it is a mitzvah chiyuvis, it is a mitzvah, if you fulfill it, you get points. I mean, so I've seen this Rav Moshe quoted all over, by people in Chutz Laretz, who are semi-long done in like, what do you have, mitzvah living in Eretz Yisrael? Rav Moshe says it's not a mitzvah chiyuvis, it's not obligation. The obligation to wear tzitzis either. No, go. You're a full yid, you're going to go without tzitzis. Crazy. I said to him, they don't understand what the Moshe did. I love Reb Moshe's psak. I love Reb Moshe's psak. Because you know what Reb Moshe's psak means? I can choose to go to Eretz Yisrael. It can be an act of free will. Nothing compels me to go. There's no mitzvah. My shul in West Hempstead is ready to renew my contract. I'm not worried. And I choose to come on Aliyah. Oh, what a tremendous feeling that is. An act of free will. And by the way, there's something, there's another statement I heard recently. I don't know why I picked this stuff up recently. I should have known it years ago. Another statement from Rav Shlomo Zalman. Somebody went in to ask Rav Shlomo Zalman, is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? Is there a mitzvah to Chiyuvos? Is there a mitzvah to Yumos? What does the Rambam hold? What does the Ramban hold? So they looked at this fellow who wanted to go into all of the minutiae of the halacha. He says, I don't understand your question. Open up any page in Tanakh, and you'll see that Ritzon Hashem, God's will, is that a Jew should live in Eretz Yisrael. Who cares whether it's the Arise, it's the Rabbanon, it's Chiyuvos, it's Kiyuvos? Open up a Pasuk Chumash. And you'll see that that's what the Goyim wants. And Ritzon Hashem, God's will, is that which should be more significant and more important than anything else in our lives. That's how we're supposed to lead our lives. To carry out the will of God. And that's exactly what he wants. So I think that Moshe Rabbeinu this year is speaking to the Jews in Chutz Laaretz. He most probably have a few things to say to us too, but his main message is to them. And maybe at some point in life, everybody begins to feel it. To us, very often, it comes a little later in life that there are no guarantees. We don't know from one day to the next, or 1 hour to the next, what's going to be. And if so, then we have to fill our lives with doing good things. And doing good things means carrying out the will of the Rebbeinu Shalom. David, I tell you, David comes into the sukkah and he says, I tell you, Jews in Eretz Yisrael, I never had in my whole life better publicity than I'm getting now. I'm on the buses, I'm on the bus stops, I'm in all of the newspapers. Tillin is good for the neshama. Nobody has ever done a job like that for me. He did get a little upset because he said, I don't understand. Kol Yisrael stopped airing the advertisements to say Tillin. And do you know why? The Gaonim, hell will it again. The Gaonim of the Israel Broadcasting Association decided that it's religious coercion. Tillin is religious coercion. Tillin is religious coercion. Understand? There is a tragedy in the United States, and the United States calls for a day of prayer. Has the government of Israel ever called for a day of prayer in its 53 years? Unbelievable. Bush's great speech. In other words, when he gave the speech about 2 weeks ago, it was great. He's not so great now. No, that's the way it is. You know, the ratings up and down right now. He's down. Maybe tonight, I didn't hear what he had to say at 8 o'clock tonight because I came in here. He may have said some good stuff, but you know, when he starts telling us that the American vision is for a Palestinian state, then Bush is going to go the way of Clinton and all of those before him. But in his great speech, I think he mentioned God about 5 or 6 times. That's an American president speech. Go here, God, the name of God mentioned over here. So David is extremely upset that Kol Yisrael won't run the ads, but he says the buses, the bus stops. Say to him, you know what he'd say? He would say, you want to know your situation? You want to know the truth of your situation? You want to know what Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov understood? You want to know? You know, we want to know what Yosef understood. Just say chapter 83 every day. Perek Pei Gimel. Say my little Pei Gimel, and you'll know exactly what you... That's one of the chapters that you should be saying every day. 83, you understand? 83. And the famous 83 talks about the nations of the world, our enemies who've gathered against us. They have joined as a coalition of nations arrayed against us. And do you know who they are? Ohalei Edom, V'Yishva'elim, Moab, V'Agvim, Gvol, V'Amon, V'Amolei, Pleshes, V'Yoshei, Tzur, Gam, Asher, the whole Middle East. You got the whole, it's not only the Middle East, all of the powers of the world are arrayed against us. That Pei Gimel is not just a prayer. Pei Gimel is telling us what the reality of the Jewish condition is. David HaMelech would pound on the sukkah. And you know what he'd say? He'll say Perek Gimel, then you'll be zeichen that Harachman Huyakim Lanu as sukkahs David Hanofalas. I know what's going on with that sukkah. I know that this is our sukkala, our kleine from Bredelech Gemeinde. I know what it's all about. And you have to know the reality of your situation. If you don't know the reality of your situation, there's absolutely no way that you're going to survive. You're in a hostile world. And in a hostile world, you have to know how to navigate and negotiate that hostile world. As the Chav said, you can't be naive. You can't be childish or childlike. And by the way, a few sentences after that, that paragraph that I quoted from the Chav, he quotes chapter Pei Gimel of Tehillim, and these psukim that I just read. And he says, if you want to know what our condition truly is, let's not be fooled. Let's not permit ourselves to be fooled. We have to know what our condition is, and if we will do what we have to do, and what's good for us, begrudgingly the world is going to say, Kol HaKavod, and our people don't know that yet. Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen most probably would want to say something, but he'd have difficulty saying. Because he lives in the world of reality. And he'd say, listen, I was always an Ohev Shalom for Ohev Shalom, and please don't mistake, you know, he's afraid to say it because they'll think that might not understand Yene Shalom, you understand? I'm not an Ohev of that Shalom. I'm Ohev real Shalom. I'm a Rodev of real Shalom. I want to be Makarev people to Torah. But I think that there's something very real that Aaron HaKohen has to tell us. And he's going to tell us, you're in a sukkah now, because the sukkah is a zecher, a commemoration of the Anani HaKavod, the clouds of glory that covered you in the desert. Those clouds of glory were in my schus because of me. Do you know what happened when I died? It's right there in the Torah. Torah says, Vayishma HaKnani Melech Arad, the Knani, king of Arad, heard Kibor Yisrael, that Israel was coming on its way to where it says, they waged war with Israel, Vayish Nimenu Shevi, and they captured a captive. And Rashi says, Shifcha Achas, one maidservant, here's a big war between Israel and the Canaan, king of Arad. Chazal say it was Amalek, and they captured a captive. So Yida Yisrael Nedel Hashem, and Israel made a vow to Hashem, and they said, if you give this people in my hand, I will destroy their cities. By Yishma Hashem, because Yisrael, and Israel heard, Israel listened. One shifcha, understand, one shifcha, one maidservant, and all of Israel goes out to war in order to get that one missing shifcha back. What has happened to our sense of priorities? Even when our Sar HaBitachon, he's getting sick, he's getting me a little upset. Now, this guy knows how to talk bombastic talk, that means mamish nothing. But I take that back, because that wasn't Torah. Everything else I spoke was Torah tonight, except that sentence. But he today was talking about I think he mentioned in passing the Ne'edarim, the Chatufim, or was it somebody else? I don't know. There are Israeli soldiers been missing in action for 18 years. What has our government or governments done? I don't understand. You should talk to anybody. Not a matter of talking on the fire, not on the fire. Even Shekinah have been taken into captivity, and I don't say I wouldn't tolerate it for a minute. What are you talking about? Because I died, one captive was taken. Klaysov did the right thing. They went out and they did exactly what had to be done. I'm sure that there's a lot more. I'm really hoping. I hope and pray that in Yitz Hashem next year, when the Ushpizen are going to come into our sukkahs, they're going to have much more encouraging words to say. I hope that they will come into the sukkah and they will tell us one after another, ko hakavod. I'm hoping, as far as I'm concerned, they don't have to wait for sukkahs, you know. They can come Hanukkah. I mean, they can come anytime. And I'm sure that they're waiting for the opportunity to be able to come and say, Chevra, you finally woke up. You did what has to be done. We have lived through a terrible, terrible, painful year. And it doesn't seem as though there is an end in sight. From our point of view, we're the only ones who can make certain that there will be an end to it. It has to be the will of the people, the will of the people, the will of the government. I don't know, I got so frustrated myself. I said on Rosh Hashanah, I said, my sin, the sin, I have a few, but I'm not going to discuss them with you. It's none of your business. There's one that I will discuss with you. What did we do during the course of this year for what's happening in Eretz? What did we do? I don't understand. There was a time, I remember a time, and we all remember a time, if Nebuchadnezzar, there was a Pikuah, thousands of Jews would run out to the Tzmatim in the country, they would go down to Kikar Tzion. There were awesome tragedies that took place during the course of this year. We didn't react, we didn't respond, we didn't do anything. So I said, Rosh Hashanah night, I said in shul, Chotasi, Obisi, Pashati, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything meaningful. I said, Tilum, but Davar HaMelech would have said, not enough. It's good that you say my Tilum, but you have to go out and do something. So this morning, I announced in shul, on Shabbos, that at 11 o'clock this morning, Shabbos, yeah. Yesterday was Shabbos. You know, Sukkot, you don't know whether it's Erev Shabbos or Matan Shabbos. Every second day is Sunday, you know. I can't get it straight. Anyway, I said with Shul, I'm going out 11 o'clock to the Knesset La'ir to demonstrate. Anybody who wants to come can join me. My children came. They know what's good for them. My grandchildren came. They even like to be with Saba instead. Yeah, my brother-in-law came. Yeah, we gave him mention last year. You're not getting mention again now, Michael. Okay. My brother-in-law came. Because he knows what's good for him. And a few members of my shul came. And I'll tell you, the response, you know, we were holding all sorts of signs up. We ended up about 50 people. 50 people out there. You had to, you felt the reaction of people as the cars were going by. They're waiting to be awakened. They're waiting for it. They want to scream. They want to do something. And I must say, call our kavod to the police. We started at 11, about 11:30, one SWAT car. One corner. 2 minutes later, next corner, another squad car. Right, and then you understand the Merkava tank comes up. And somebody tells me, you know, we've surrendered. They have us effectively surrendered. Anyway, the officer in charge comes over to me and he says, "Shui Doron. Hi, Doron." And he wants to know who I am. I'm Shaw. From our mouth. Who are all these people? I told him this is my family. And we're upset. And we want everybody to know they were upset. So I thought, I was really hoping, I told Rabbi Cohen this morning, I'm speaking tonight at 8:30, only on condition that I'm not in the Midrash HaNusid. If I will be taken, I'll Kiddush Hashem to the Midrash HaNusid. And I will be. Okay. So he was very happy to see me here. And I must say the police said they were only concerned about one thing. They wanted all children on the sidewalk, not even center aisle, because they were afraid, you know, a child may get a walk. I was amazed. So I told them, listen, come Friday. Friday we're going to be there again from 11 to 12. So I invited Doron and his officers and the Merkava tank. I think we have to do something. And certainly we have a Hoshana Rabba. We pray for a Gemarach Sima Tovah. We have to do a great deal. And the Rebbe Hashem will do the rest. Chag Sameach.